Welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a program dedicated to informing you about organizations that serve our community and how you can get involved with them. Here's your host, Chris Evans.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Upstate. My name is Chris Evans. Today, my guests are Carrie Westmoreland, the St. Francis Foundation Director. Good morning, Carrie.
Hey, good morning.
Thank you for being here. And we also have Jessica Mitchum, the lead mammographer at the Pearlie Harris Breast Center. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you. You
guys have, obviously, we're going to be talking about breast health and breast cancer today. Usually it's October when this kind of thing comes up. I mean, obviously, there's no bad time to talk about it, but it's not Breast Cancer Awareness Month or anything. But we're going to do it because, Carrie, you tell me you've got an event coming up that is a fundraiser for the Breast Center, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But first, I'm going to ask the thing that I normally ask, which is, what do you do and who do you do it for? Carrie, tell us about St. Francis and the work that you do there.
Yes. As mentioned, I am the director of the St. Francis Foundation, and we raise money exclusively for Bonscore St. Francis Health System. So whatever needs arise and they need philanthropy involved, we certainly reach out to the community and raise those needed dollars, including the Pearlie Harris Breast Center.
Okay. And Jessica, tell us about the Pearlie Harris Breast Center, because being the lead mammographer over there, you must spend all of your time over there
and know all about it.
Tell us about the Breast Center over there.
So the Breast Center, we offer screening mammograms. We do diagnostic mammograms. We have ultrasound, bone density. We also do biopsies in the Breast Center and get patients ready for surgery and patients that may have to have needle lokes and things like that, different procedures before a surgery.
So. Needle lokes?
Yeah.
What is that? I've never heard of that before.
That
I pay a lot of attention to breast health, but that's a new one on me.
So the radiologist is actually putting a guide wire where the surgeon will take out an area of the breast that maybe is a concern. Or
it's a procedure accompanying a surgery.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about breast cancer because as I mentioned, there's no bad time to talk about it. October usually is when it comes up. You see NFL players wearing pink socks and stuff like that. But it's a perennial problem. So we should talk about it all the time. Let's start with the sort of obvious things. Who is at risk for breast cancer?
Women are primarily the main people that get breast cancer, but
obviously,
men can also get breast cancer.
I have heard that.
Yes. Yeah, so that's something that we do like to get out there and let people know that it's not just women, men also. 1 in 8 women will have breast cancer at some point in their lifetime. So that's why it's so important.
Now, I have not paid attention to rates or anything like that. Is that up? I want to say that we're doing better about fighting breast cancer, but is that more prevalent than it used to be?
1 in 8 is still where we're at.
Okay.
We're
doing
better at treating breast cancer once it is diagnosed and
identifying it ahead
exactly,
of time.
Exactly, screening and those kind of things. That's what we're improving on, but we're still at 1 in 8 for the amount of women that get breast cancer.
But I've also had other cancer organizations on the program before, and I've observed that cancer is not the death knell diagnosis that it used to be. I mean, you used to have the scene, you know, in the 70s or 80s, you'd see a movie or something like that, and the doctor comes in and says, you've got cancer, and their face just falls, and it's just it's like, oh, no, and the sad music starts playing and things like that. But now, the same scene in a movie made today, the doctor comes in and says, you have cancer. And then it's like, okay, now what? What's next? And we've come so far with cancer research and things. It's just, it's incredible.
Definitely. Which is why we really want to promote screening and mammography at the ages that are appropriate for women. 40 is generally when we start mammograms. That conversation can go on with the doctor. If there's a family history, they may start a little earlier. But the earlier you detect breast cancer, the more treatable it is and the increase you have to cure that breast cancer.
Well, and let's talk about the screening process. I know that there is a procedure that women can do at home where they check themselves for masses, things like that. What other screening options are there?
Pretty much screening mammography is the gold standard, the main thing that we promote. Self-exams are something that, you know, we encourage women to do. Yearly physicals with their doctors. A lot of times a doctor may find something on a patient and then send the patient in. But mammos and mammogram, they're the, that's the main thing. We also use ultrasound and MRI, but that's not the go-to. That's not that first thing that the patient would have for a screening.
Okay. You say regular screenings with your doctor. Is that just a general practitioner, or is that actually an OBGYN, or
they
what?
They do both. Some patients have their exam with their OBGYN. Some may have it with their family doctor. It just depends on the patient.
Fair enough. The screening process, how has that changed over the years?
Not much has changed with the screening process, as, you know, coming once a year. Our technology's changed. We've gone from digital.
I should have been more specific. let me say, how has the technology changed?
So we used to have mammography that was actually on film. Now that's all digital. And the new technology is actually a 3D mammography. We do have one of those machines in our breast center. And it's just in addition to your gold standard mammo that you would have this tomography is pretty much what it is. Okay. And it's a new technology for mammo.
Now, I have never had a mammogram before. Shocking, I know. But I understand that it is a rather uncomfortable process. Has that changed at all?
That's not changed very much.
Okay.
It is more comfortable than it used to be with film. Once we got digital mammography, the compression does not have to be as much as it did in the past.
Okay.
You still do have to be compressed during a mammogram. I always tell my patients that it's generally uncomfortable, but it shouldn't be painful.
Fair enough.
And most women, when they leave, say, oh, well, that's not as big of a deal as everybody makes it out to be. So I think people work it up to be a lot more uncomfortable
mountains
and painful
and
than it
hills.
Actually is.
Yeah. Well, and I wonder whether that might be one of the reasons that women don't get screened more often, don't come in regularly for mammograms, and is if they're afraid it might hurt. You know, there's a similar thing with, you know, when you get to a certain age, you need to be checked for polyps and things like that. And that, again, an uncomfortable process, and people generally don't want to go through it. And so they avoid it and risk missing something that that could turn into something dangerous.
Exactly. That very short exam that may be a little bit uncomfortable can increase your risk of finding something that's very important to find at a early standpoint in that disease maybe. So,
well, and you it may have mentioned already, but let's say it again just for repetition's sake. How often do people need to get screened? I mean, you mentioned the yearly exams with doctors. Is there a protocol for mammograms?
Yearly mammograms.
Yearly mammograms.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit further down past the screening process. Now you've found something. Now there is an actual diagnosis. What's the next step?
From that point for us, it depends on what they find. If it is a cyst, it may need to be just aspirated and then they're done. If they find something that's a little more in depth, then they see something on that screening mammogram, they'll call that patient back. They may have additional views, which is what we call it in mammo, but you would come back and have some more direct images of that area that they're looking at. And then you would go to ultrasound possibly and ultrasound that area. At that point, the radiologist would come in and kind of go over your results from those two exams that are looking a little deeper into what they saw in that first screening.
How has survivability for breast cancer changed over the years?
It's increased. I mean, the survivability for anything found very early is close to 100% if it's at an early stage. So
right.
A lot of times the stage of that breast cancer is the most important.
But I understand we've even gotten better at treating some of the late stages of cancer.
Yes. I think if it's stage 4 or 5, you're in the 20-something percent, though that's still a lot lower than close in the 90s if you could catch it at the stage 1 or stage 2. So
speak a little bit to the sort of mentality of breast cancer. I know that, again, as a man, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I know that that some women who have had mastectomies, for example, will almost wear their scars as a badge of honor. And then some women opt for reconstruction. In fact, I knew a woman who had a double mastectomy as a result of breast cancer, and she went the reconstruction route and looked as good as ever.
Yes. That's really up to the woman. Each woman depends, you know, what they feel like for that situation. But some, if they decide to not have any reconstruction, that's something for them that's personal. And then the ones that do have reconstruction, the advances that we've made in plastic surgery for those patients is amazing compared to what we started at too.
Fair enough. Carrie, let's talk a little bit about the Pearls and Pups contest that you have coming up. You said you started this 6 years ago. Tell us about how you came up with the idea for Pearls and Pups.
Well, Pearls and Pumps is actually an event. This is our 6th year. Mm-hmm. I have a dear friend who is a stylist, and she came to me and said she wanted to do something for breast cancer. She wanted to raise money for the Pearly Harris Breast Center. She wanted to do it by having a fashion show. So we came together as a team, and with God's good guidance, we came up with what's called Pearls and Pumps. And we created this event that we felt like women from the community would really just have a good time, enjoy themselves, and feel good knowing that they're raising money for the Pearly Harris Breast Center. So Pearls and Pumps was created. The event in its first 5 years has raised $450,000.
Wow.
For the Pearly Harris
Impressive.
Center. Yes, we have. The ladies have been very generous over the years, and we've raised money for a new mobile mammography coach that Jessica can share more about. But we also raise money for screenings, those mammogram screenings Jessica was just sharing. So that's what the $450,000 has gone towards. And about 3 years ago, someone came up with the idea of doing something during the fashion show at the event with pups, with the doggies.
Okay.
So that's how Pearls and Pups kind of spun off and came about.
And it's important to make the distinction. I'm glad I asked you the question, because I was under the impression that Pearls and Pups had come first and the Pumps was a later add-on, but you tell me that's how it started.
Yes, Pearls and Pumps. So the event, I will share what the event looks like and how Pups
absolutely.
Fits into that. Pearls and Pumps is at the Convention Center every year. We hold it in October.
So that's now the Greenville Convention Center.
Yes, the Greenville Convention Center.
As it has been renamed.
Yes, I have to be careful. So we sat down and thought about, what do women really like? I personally don't care for silent auction. Not that there's anything
Fair
wrong
enough. No,
with
that's,
silent auctions.
That's perfectly
but
fine.
I'm of the personality, if I want to buy something, I just want to buy it now. I'm the buy it now person.
You don't care
on
who
eBay.
Knows it.
Yeah, I don't care who knows it. So we came up with the idea to have local vendors have a shopping hour, which now is turning into a shopping 2.5 hours prior to the event itself. So we reach out to local store owners. We actually have a great partnership with Belk as well. And we set up those 50 vendor tables, and the ladies get to shop for about 2.5 hours. So
wow.
It starts at 4 o'clock in the evening, early evening, and the ladies get to buy, you know, what they like. We also have bra fittings. We do have survivors that come to this event, and sometimes, you know, they're not sure what size bra maybe they need to be in. So Belk is a great sponsor.
I understand. Again, not being a person that wears bras on a regular basis, I understand that that's a common problem is not knowing what kind of
knowing
bra to get.
The right size.
Yeah.
That's right. So we actually have bra fittings. We have a dressing room, and Belk staff and Wacol, we partner with those folks, actually fit ladies if they choose.
Okay.
It's just part of their shopping experience. And then we open the doors for dinner about 6:30, and we have a really nice meal. And then the entertainment for the night is our Pearly Harris breast cancer survivors. We have about 20 folks that walk the runway in Belk fashion. And it just gives you chills to be in the room that night because they get standing ovations. We've got some ladies who've been survivors for 20 years. We've got some ladies who are currently undergoing treatment and don't have hair. We each year we have a gentleman who is a breast cancer survivor who kind of struts his stuff on the runway.
Okay.
And then we have a really great inspirational speaker. We try to keep everything local to the upstate. So our keynote speaker every year is a local breast cancer survivor who shares her story as well.
Well, and it's occurred to me that nearly every story of a cancer survivorship is inspiring. I mean, you never hear somebody say, oh, yeah, I had cancer and then I got over it. It's
right.
I mean, there's always there's a learning process. I know it's a lengthy treatment process, and people share the things that they've learned. They share. I remember before the program, we were talking about Russ Castle, who listeners may remember passed away several years ago. He had cancer, and he always said he thanked God for his cancer. And that seems like such a strange perspective to have if you've never had cancer. But I've heard that from a lot of cancer survivors.
Yes, and every person's journey is different. With this being our 6th year, every lady who gets up and shares her story is totally different. We've had survivors who have shown photos of their entire family, shaved their head just so
yeah.
She didn't feel like alone.
Well, and there's the St. Baldrick's celebration, a mm-hmm. fundraiser, you know, that they do every year, I think in March, if I remember correctly, where, again, it's that same sort of thing. People shave their heads to raise money for cancer research and also to support people who are going through that and lose their hair through the process of treatment.
Yes, yes. So, you know, it is very inspiring. We actually had a physician, a Bon Secours physician, who shared her story last year, and she is a breast cancer survivor. So it was, you know, unique to hear her story as a physician being a patient as well. It's very personal to me. Just last year, my sister was diagnosed with breast cancer while I'm planning this event.
Wow.
So, you know, it touches all of us in some way.
How is she doing?
She's doing well, thank you.
Glad to hear
it. Yes, thank you. So we started brainstorming, how can we kind of pump up Pearls and Pumps? What can we do different? We always want to improve it and make it fun and make sure everyone's coming away with a really great time, a great story to be inspired by. And we have a friend of the foundation who said, I have fur babies. Let's get doggies involved somehow.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be great if we open the fashion show with a dog? Opening the fashion show with a breast cancer survivor walking with a winner of a photo contest.
Okay.
So from that, Pearls and Pups was created 4 years ago now. And that small little photo contest has raised $4,500 for the Pearlie Harris Center. So how Pearls and Pups works is it's totally open to the community. We advertise, take the cutest photo of your pup, and does it have to be, we've had males walk the runway, we've had female dogs walk the runway. But take a picture of them wearing pearls or pink, upload it onto this website for just $15, you can enter your dog. And then for the next month, you encourage your family and friends to vote. $5 a vote.
Okay.
And the doggy with the most votes wins. And that's our Pearls and Pups winner.
Clever.
Yes.
Who's been your cutest past winner? Do you remember?
You know, I always think the dogs that I have owned in the past have been little lap dogs.
Okay.
Every dog that has won so far is rather large.
Okay.
Okay. Rather big dogs.
See, I'm a big dog guy. I like big dogs. My grandmother had a tiny little Pomeranian for a while, and that dog was the most annoying thing. So spoiled. And my grandmother was the only person that she liked. But I understand people like what they like. There's no accounting for taste. I understand.
Yes. We do have a unique story just in the pups. Our second year winner, the dog, is a cancer survivor.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And actually, the dog's name is Carolina. Carolina actually raised the most money that we have had over the past 3 years. Just her owner had a lot of family and friends that wanted to support Carolina because she herself is a cancer survivor.
I imagine so. And, you know, here in these days of social media, I imagine this is the kind of thing that can go viral. You know, if somebody wants to put their submission up on Facebook or Instagram, whatever, they can encourage people to vote. They'll get votes from people they don't even know, friends of friends of friends.
Yes, yes. And that's why we're here. We want to spread the word because this is still kind of new, still asking folks to support it. We have lots of submissions. Last year, we had 20 dogs.
20 dogs.
Submitted. So, again, there's something we do want to have go viral so it can raise more money for the Pearlie Harris.
Let's talk about dates. The Pearls and Pups online photo contest starts when?
July 15th.
Okay.
And that will run till August 15th. That's the 30-day window everyone has to upload their photo. Again,
gotcha.
Just $15.
How do people do that if they want to participate?
You can visit our website, stfrancisfoundation.com, and that's ststfrancisfoundation.com. Okay. They will find a link. That link will not be live until July 15th.
Gotcha.
And you'll have until August 15th
to upload the photos. And then voting continues after that?
Voting will begin August 16th and will run through September 15th.
Okay.
So it is a two-month process. And then, once again, the dog with the most votes will be showcased at the Pearls and Pumps event this year.
So 30 days to join in the contest and submit a photo of your dog wearing pink or pearls or both or neither
both.
Or whatever.
It's not required. It's just recommended.
Okay. And then another 30-day window where people can cast their votes for their favorite dog.
Yes. Yes.
Gotcha.
And the winner, owner, will get two complimentary tickets
to
the event as well.
And the Pearls and Pumps fundraiser happens when?
October 15th.
October 15th. So we've got some time to plan for that.
Yes.
If people want to come and participate in that, how do they get, is there a registration? Do they just show up? What happens?
Yes. So historically, this event has sold out every year, including the first year.
Exclusive.
Yeah. So they can visit, again, that stfrancisfoundation.com website, or you can find us on eventbrite.com, Pearls and Pomps. And tickets are $60 per person, or a lot of ladies, it's just a great girls' night out. A lot of ladies gather up 9 friends, and they purchase an entire table.
Okay.
So a table of 10 is $600.
Is there a group rate? Okay.
$600
okay.
For an entire table, and your table is reserved. You don't have to worry about open seating. So most ladies do go that avenue.
You also mentioned vendors that you have at the event. You mentioned Belk. What are some of the other vendors that people can expect to see? Do you know off the top of your head?
I'll try. We've got Joyful Ornament. They actually do fundraising for the Pearly Hair Center as well.
Okay.
Selling Christmas ornaments. We also have a lot of local boutiques, MX Square Designs, Sassy, Emily's. The list just goes on and on and on.
And Nothing Bundt Cake, because that's the ladies' favorite. Yeah.
Nothing Bundt Cake. Okay. Always has a line. Yes, that's right, Jessica. Yeah,
it's one of the best.
I have become recently fond of Bundt Cakes, and I have to say I've never tried from Nothing Bundt Cake, but maybe I shall. But I have discovered a place that makes a Bundt Cake. They'll make just a kind of a regular cake, chocolate or carrot cake or whatever. And instead of frosting it like the ring, the way the cake comes out, they actually fill the center with frosting. So you get this huge slice of frosting along with the cake. It's brilliant. I'd never seen anybody do it before. And then it just looks like a regular cake. But it's a Bundt cake, and it's got extra frosting in it. It's fantastic. So people can show up, and then the vendors all have booths, I guess?
Yes. We do span 2 concourse hallways at the Greenville Convention Center, and that's why we encourage ladies to come. It takes a couple hours to visit every vendor, and we do have some pharmaceutical companies that are a part of that, so they are providing education to the ladies on site. The Pearly Hair Center,
Breast Center.
Team is there as well to answer questions that ladies may want more information about. How do I schedule my mammogram? Those ladies are on site as well.
Good. Well, and speaking of that, I should ask you, Jessica, if somebody is concerned that they may have breast cancer, or frankly any kind of cancer, but in this case breast cancer, maybe they've got a history of it, maybe they've found a lump on a self-exam, what do they need to do next? What's the next step?
For just a screening mammogram, they can call our scheduling number is 675-4875. And you can call that number, schedule a screening mammogram. For a screening mammogram, that means you're not having any problems. You're just coming in for your yearly routine screening. That does not have to have a doctor's order. You can come in and we fill out a self-referral form. If you're a patient that is having a problem, you do have to have an order from a physician. So the best thing is if you do feel a lump or having some problems, go to your OBGYN, your family doctor, talk to them about the problems you're having, and from there they will order the exam that you need to have done at the breast center.
If people want to get involved with either Pearls and Pumps or the Pearly Harris Breast Center by making a donation of either their time or their money, what do they need to do?
They can visit stfrancisfoundation.com, hit the donate button, and in the drop-down box you will see Pearly Harris Breast Center, and they can make a donation of any amount online.
Volunteer opportunities?
Volunteer? Yes. We'd love to have we're always looking for volunteers from the community to help within the Bon Secours health system.
Okay.
But also at this event, we typically have 1,200 ladies attend, so it takes all day to get set up.
I imagine so.
So if anyone's interested in just getting involved specifically with Pearls and Pumps, they can visit our website and send us an email.
So again, the website stfrancisfoundation.com, and that's ST. StFrancisFoundation.com, and there will be buttons and things to click on the website. And Jessica also mentioned the phone number 675-4875 for screenings.
If you're scheduling
a screening mammogram. Jessica Mitchum, lead mammographer at the Pearly Harris Breast Center, and Carrie Westmoreland, the St. Francis Foundation director, have been my guests today. Thank you very much, ladies, for being here.
Thank you for having us.
It's been my pleasure. I'm Chris Evans, and this has been Focus on the Upstate.
You've been listening to Focus on the Upstate with Chris Evans. If you would like more information on today's topic, email Chris at cevans@intercom.com.